Well, that was a piece of cake, Kevin Barker. As we all expected. I mean, biggest game of the year, is it not? Biggest game of the year and the biggest series of the year, I think. Someone told me.
Absolutely.
10-6, the Blue Jays beating the... Don't look at me like that. The Blue Jays beating the Cleveland Guardians in the first of a three-game series. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. We could talk about George Springer's Grand Slam, which is the third home run, according to our friend Chris Black, the third home run that Hunter Gaddis, only the third home run that Hunter Gaddis has given up since the start of last year. We could talk about Jonathan Classe's key hit. We could talk about Eric Lauer's, another Eric Lauer start. More than acceptable, to say the least. Absolutely retaining a spot in the rotation. I think there's no doubt about that. But I think a lot of the talking point, Kevin, is going to be around John Schneider's bullpen use, even though they won. Now, I know that's the first thing you said to me. I'm being optimistic here, but I know you want to be a little pessimistic here. You're throwing stuff against the screen over John Schneider's bullpen use. Now, all kidding aside, but I do want to explain to me the decision to go from Braden Fisher to Mason Fleury. Why wouldn't you just stick with Fisher at that point?
Well, I think John's trying to not have the manager on the other team bring in the lefties to face Fisher. That was the whole point, right? Keep the lineup the way it's looking with the 5-run lead. Me, I have no idea why you do that. I'm assuming because he got Fleury loose, he told Fisher that he was out of the game after the 7 pitches. Now, I mean, again, Fisher threw 4 pitches 2 days ago. All of us, well, he came in the game, they were up 3. He left the game in the 7th inning, they were up 5. I would think you'd run Fisher back out there so you don't have to end up using 6 pitchers
now
when Max Scherzer's throwing tomorrow.
Okay, admittedly, it was a bit of a longish inning for the Blue Jays. They sent 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 batters to the plate, couple of walks. It was a, we'll hear what John Schneider says after the game. But I mean, I thought Braden Fisher was going back out. You know, the camera shot showed Braden Fisher looked to me like a guy who was going to go back out. Then the next camera shot, he's talking to Max Scherzer and looking very much like a guy who was out of the game. So we'll wait and see what John Schneider says.
You know, as well as anybody, you've talked to enough managers, they hate getting a dude up and don't bring him in the game, right? I mean, once they get him up, he gets raring and ready to go. You know, the catcher's down in the squat position. He's throwing to the catcher. Normally that means the manager's going to bring him in sooner than later. That part of it I just don't get. Again, he's telling you by using the 6 pitchers how big this series means to him. Even if Max is throwing tomorrow, bringing Rodriguez in the game up 5, for me, makes no sense. Look, I'm not trying to – I don't want to come on here and yell and scream about how John's using his bullpen for the most part this season. I think he's done a really good job. Just today, I just don't get it. Like, I just don't understand that part of it. But give the lineup credit. I mean, George Springer bailed him out. He makes him look like a genius. He sort of makes it to where you can gloss over anyway if you're on the outside looking in the moves that John did make. I do want to give Davis Schneider, sort of some run too in the 7th inning area. He went 1-2 and had a 9 pitch walk before the Class A 1-2, 2 RBI single up the middle. That's a big time at bat. And then George Springer comes into the 8th inning and gets the 1-2 fastball down the middle that he hits to the moon. It's those kind of at bats, right? I mean, those are giant at bats on the road when a team, quite frankly, offensively don't do a ton on the road. And to have dudes having the at bats.
You're talking about Schneider's walk and then Kirk's walk in the 8th inning.
Yeah, I think it's more about the Davis Schneider one because of where he's hitting in the order. We're used to seeing Kirky have good at bats. You mentioned, the Gaddis thing. He doesn't give up homers to right-handed batters. George Springer having a little separation, always ready to hit the heater. I mean, only for about 2 weeks out of the entire season has it looked like the bat's dragging. Tonight, boy, he's getting that foot down early. You get that foot down early, man. It allows you to recognize pitch a little sooner out of the hand. You have that little pause, allows you to get the hands inside the baseball and get to your big finish and you're balanced. boy, you're just basically throwing that sucker into the air and it's going to the moon. That's a big time at bat when your team needs you the most. So, yeah, I mean, they're telling you what they mean by using all the pitches they used.
416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590, 590, 590 is the text line. Trent in Winnipeg, I don't understand why you would take out Fluharty to bring in Green. He promptly gives up the home run, which he is prone to do. What's the big deal with that move? Adam in Port Williams, Nova Scotia. Are the Jays just pitching Chad Green because of his salary? I feel like other people on lesser contracts would have been off the big league roster by now. It's getting nuts. I mean, Chad Green, you know, it's entirely possible. John Schneider saw Chad Green give up that cookie and thought, I got to start managing this game again. I mean, that's the 10th home run that Chad Green's given up. You know, they've already DFA'd and released Eric Swanson. You're not going to do that with Chad Green. I think if anything, you would when Jimmy Garcia gets back, and we're led to believe that could be next week. I mean, maybe you try to get something for Chad Green. But Kevin, I haven't had confidence in Chad Green in a year. And I think maybe that explains part of the thing you saw with John Schneider here. John Schneider's circle of trust in this bullpen's got to be getting smaller with each passing day.
Yeah, I think so. Just fastball command with Chad Green, right? They don't really have a ton to get a lefty out of. Man, how's it going? What's it going to, you know, if he ever does have to face a good lefty where they have that three batter rule, what's he throwing to him? Like, the fastball command hadn't really been there. The slider, I mean, that's a, you know, the throw Thomas three sliders in a row. You understand the struggles that he's having off of breaking balls. He's having the same struggles off of fastballs. I mean, he ain't played a ton because he's been injured. But still, man, like, get after dudes because of what the scoreboard's telling you. And just to come in and start to flip them sliders, I think sort of just tells you all that you need to know about how Chad Green's feeling about himself.
Yeah,
it ain't just what we're feeling about him. It's about what they feel about him. I just don't get the Fisher move. Seven pitches, the way he looked. I mean, he's dominant. Again, I get the trying to keep the lefties on the other team on the bench, but man alive, it ain't the 27 Yankees.
Yeah,
it's the dang Guardians.
Yeah, it's a team that isn't hitting isn't hitting at all. And it's not like, I mean, with all due respect, it's not like you're sitting there sweating about their lefties. I mean, you shouldn't be.
No,
you shouldn't be sweating about your left about their lefties. And anyhow, yeah, I mean, as it turns out, the Jays did win the game 10-6. I want to go to the phone lines, but before we do that, let's give Eric Lauer some flowers too, man. I mean, Max Scherzer gets the start tomorrow. We'll all be lighting candles for that. But, you know, Eric Lauer did what he did to keep the bullpen in order. He really did.
Well, I think there's one guy, right? He's trying to get Ramirez out, and it's right at the gate in the first inning, with the two on, and he got the double play. Arm side to Ramirez was really good, right? The slow breaking balls, the elevated fastballs, the changeups down to the way. I think the change of speeds, I think the sort of the spin, the different speeds on different spins, like movements, sort of threw Ramirez a little bit off, right? I mean, the location, he's been living on the edges for most of the time he's been pitching. I mean, it's just a really good outing. Other than the throwing error and the pitch violation, you should never have a pitch violation if you're a starter in June. I mean, come on, man.
Guys.
Things like that.
Yeah, I mean, you're really going to see that. You're going to see guys have pitch violations in the postseason. I mean, I can't. Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I don't know if it's the heat. I mean, that clock is pretty damn big. Tells you how many seconds you have left.
Hands.
We've also got to shout out the Jays defense early in the game. Andrés Giménez, I mean, he can't hit much, but made a terrific play diving into center field the second inning. And Ernie Clement, that throw in the bunt. Ernie Clement again continues hitting out of the two spot tonight. What, scored three runs? Walk. I mean, he continues, doubles in the first run. He just continues to confound you almost. He really does. Like, we're gonna talk to John Friday. Dalton Varsho, whenever Dalton Varsho gets back, and I understand he had a bit of a hamstring issue, but I don't know how the hell you keep Ernie Clement out of the lineup. I just don't. I don't think you can.
Don't. You wouldn't do that. I mean, just the quality of the bat. You know, you want every single ball hit to him, no matter what position he's playing. He's got baseball IQ. I mean, just the way he runs the bases, the totality of the entire game that he sort of presents
yep.
on an everyday basis. I mean, they put him in a two-hole, Jeff, and it just doesn't look like he misses a beat.
Nope.
Like, he doesn't change his approach. He is what he is. He's pretty confident in, you know, what he's trying to do. He crushes lefties. I mean, lefties don't really have a chance anyway of getting him out. He can pull a fastball. He can hit a breaking ball the other way. He can hit with two strikes. Like, I mean, where would they be without Ernie Clement? Can't believe I'm saying it.
It's interesting hearing Dan Shulman talk about a conversation he and Joe Siddle had with Stephen Vogt before the game. Stephen Vogt was a former teammate of Ernie Clement's. As a matter of fact, Stephen Vogt hit the home run in his last game. The guy on the on-deck circle to greet him was Ernie Clement. And they asked him about Ernie Clement, and Ernie, you know, confirmed the story. He said Stephen had a conversation with him one time and said, look, here's the thing. Know what you do best. Perfect that. And then when that gets you playing time, show people you can do other stuff. That's kind of what Ernie Clement has done.
He's done it. I mean, he's a really good player that can be on a really good team.
Yes.
And that's what he is right now.
Absolutely.
So, yep.
Jay in North York, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. You stole a little bit of my thunder, Jeff, when I was watching Green come in. And like you, he started giving up hard contact consistently last season. This did begin last year. And those that watch the game know that even when Green goes into the dugout after maybe pitching a quote-unquote clean inning, there's almost exclusively one or two balls hit 95, 100, 105 miles per hour, rifled at an infielder or caught on the warning track or caught at the wall. So he is consistent in giving up hard contact. I don't even think he deserves to be put in a 5-1 game with two men on base because the home run is so common. Now you're looking at great. Now this is becoming a game where we're going to start using our high leverage relievers, and that's a pretty sad thing. Now on a good note, you know, Springer's grand slam, the Blue Jays coming back, hitting some offense late in the game, which is something that we've been getting used to seeing more and more of, which is a good thing. So I'd like to see Green drop down on the circle of trust, as they say. Maybe he can come in with the 6-run when the Blue Jays are down, six runs.
The green zone, as I like to call it.
I like it. And I'm going to make a funny joke. I want to see Addison Barger pitch before the end of the year. And I want to know your thoughts on the odds of Bo Bichette getting extended.
Why do you want to see Addison Barger pitch?
Because he throws 95, 100 miles an hour from right field, and baseball is a game of entertainment, and I want to be entertained. When he was hitting poorly before the last 3 weeks, I was like, convert the dude to be a pitcher.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Yeah, that's a position player's pitching. I break out in a cold sweat.
Yeah,
I break out in a cold sweat when
now.
I hear it. I think he's talking tongue in cheek there. Yeah, look, Chad Green, obviously, you know, once Jimmy Garcia gets back there, and now that Nick Sandlin's here, there will have to be some rearranging of roles. Obviously, Jimmy Garcia and Yariel Rodriguez and Jeff Hoffman are the three guys late in the game. Maybe Brandon Little. I mean, one thing, you know, the other thing George Springer's home run did tonight was it prevented Brandon Little from getting in the game because Brandon Little was up, which also raises a question to me, Kevin. I mean, you talk about John likes to get guys in the game when they're up. Well, Brandon Little was up.
Yeah.
And you put him in the game. So, you know, anyhow, you know, 10-6 bottom line is they won the first game of the series. But, yeah, it's just, you know, George Springer's home run, I thought was kind of, you know, just the icing on the cake. And it turns out to be absolutely the crucial play of the game.
Okay. You're the smartest one of the group.
Probably.
Explain whether they should sign Bo Bichette or not.
Oh, Bo Bichette. What are the odds of him signing? I would flip it on its head, and I would say, what are the odds of Bo Bichette wanting to sign? If I'm Bo Bichette, I don't want to sign right now. I mean, I'm hitting, look, what, how many RBI? I have 41. I might end up hitting close to 100 RBI this year. Maybe I get 20 homers. Maybe. I'm a guy that most people think can hit 300. I'm going to the market with that. Someone will overpay me. Someone will overpay me. Don't forget, there's a team out in the West Coast that would really like to see that would like to see Mookie Betts move back to the outfield, and they're not about to to turn up their noses at Bo Bichette just because of the money. So I think that ship has sailed. I'd be okay with it if they want to revisit it at the end of the year and Bo brings an offer back and they go, okay, fine, Bo brings an offer back and the Jays say, okay, we'll match it. You've had a good year. Maybe give you a little more. I'd be okay with that. But right now I don't see there being any percentage in it for either side. Although, as I said in Blair and Barker Day, I got to say, my whole grand scheme of having Andrés Giménez replace Bo Bichette next year, I may be rethinking that. And then the year after that, when Andrés Giménez is getting $23 million, even though money doesn't matter, I might be rethinking that as well, too.
Yeah, and 200 hits don't grow on trees. I think that's a big deal, too. Yep. You got to think about that, right? For me, I've said this, and I'll continue to say it. Let it play out. If they win a playoff series, make a run at him. If they don't, split the two up. That's just me.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. 590-590 is the text line. It is a winning edition of Blue Jays Talk. 10-6, the Jays have beaten the Cleveland Guardians. We're going to step away and come back and look at the out-of-town scoreboard with our friends at Bet365. It is Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Oh, man. Eric Lauer, our base running, George, Class A. I think that Lauer kind of set the tone. Awesome effort again. Mixed really well. Sneaky fastball, 94, a little bit of an uptick. I think him kind of controlling the early part of that game stands out. And then, they claw back. It's a big-time swing from George with two strikes against a good reliever. And I thought we generated some more opportunities to score their base running. And I thought we played really good defense. Miles, Hemi, Ernie with the bare hand play, Vladdy's double play. We kind of did those things in the margins really well.
That was John Schneider talking about the things his team did well in a 10-6 win over the Cleveland Guardians tonight, first game of a three-game series. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. If you're reaching us via text line, the text line is 590-590. But right about now, let's take a look at the AL East with the Bet365 standings update. You can download the Bet365 app for today's baseball odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. A couple of games have gone final involving the American League East teams. The Tampa Bay Rays beating Kansas City 5-1. Texas beating Baltimore 6-5. The Yankees and the Cincinnati Reds are tied at 3 in the 11th inning. The story in that game, Kevin, we talked about this kid, Chase Burns, making his major league debut for the Reds, struck out the first 5 batters to begin his MLB career. He had 8 strikeouts over 5 innings. The teams are currently tied at 3, as I mentioned, in the 11th inning. And the Boston Red Sox are on the coast. They are currently scoreless against the Los Angeles Angels. If we look at the standings right now, the Yankees are still playing. They're 3-7 in their last 10 going into tonight. They're 45-33. The Rays are 44-35. The Jays are 42-36. That leaves them 3 out right now. They could gain a half game there if the Reds can help them out. They're 1.5 up in the wild card spot. The Red Sox are 500. They're 40-40. And the Baltimore Orioles are 34-45. And if you look at the American League right now, the Red Sox have lost 3 in a row. Baltimore's lost 1. Obviously, they're 5-5 in their last 10. Toronto's 4-6 in their last 10. Tampa's 7-3 in their last 10. The Yankees 3-7 in their last 10. So everybody's kind of hanging in there right now. And the Jays still with the negative run differential. But there you go. Sho Ali just telling me Aaron Judge just scored in a wild pitch. So the Yankees are now up 4-3 in the top of the 11th inning.
Yeah, if you're the Jays, I think right now would be a good time to get hot. Get your best guys being the best guys on your team. Sort of get some momentum and start winning some baseball games, especially against the teams you're supposed to be beating.
Guy in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys, just a couple of questions. The first thing was just on Ernie Clement. I think we got to stop talking about how he's not an everyday player. I mean, this guy, not only is he an everyday player, you could argue he's an all-star this year. I mean, he's going to be, 6th in batting in the American League after tonight, and I think I would love for you guys to pull up his OPS against left-handers outside of Judge. I don't know who's better than Clement. Can play every single position above average. Just does everything good. And I think he's one of the most underrated players in baseball. So I hope people view that when they make the All-Star ballot or the extra players. So I'm just going to put that out there. And you can argue dollar for dollar, he might be their best player. I mean, what's he make, $1 million? Jeez. What I called was with the bullpen, again, with Chad Green and everything. What's starting to concern me, some red flags. I mean, it just seems the entire bullpen's struggling. I mean, Hoffman's given up 17 runs in his last 17 innings. You're starting to see Fluharty and Little struggle, and their ERAs are starting to go up. I mean, outside of Uriel, it just seems like they're a bit burnt out. And I feel it's because Schneider takes these starting pitchers out after 80, 90 pitches. I mean, what happened to the days where, pitchers would throw 100, 110 pitches? And I'm just wondering.
Those days ended like a decade ago.
And fair enough. But if you're going to manage your team like this, where you're protecting your starters, essentially, maybe they need to go to a six-man rotation. I know they'd have to get two more starters. I mean, they're barely got four right now, but I just want to know your thoughts. Do you think they need to go out and get a reliever before, he totally, burns out this the bullpen, or would you like to see another starter before that? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. I mean, look, John Schneider's the reason he's overused so many relievers is because early in the year he wasn't getting a lot of mileage out of a lot of his starters. And the reason he's protecting his starters is because they're old. Kevin Gausman, in case people forget, has not had a good month. Now, I'm not sitting here pushing the panic button about Kevin Gausman. Kevin Gausman's pitched a lot. Chris Bassett pitched a lot. Jose Berríos, God bless him, rubber arm, great athlete, but he's still pitched a lot. So I don't think John Schneider has any chance here. He's walking a fine line. He's got older guys he has to protect. He's got older guys who, you have to balance protecting them, making sure they adhere to their routines, and also keeping your bullpen fresh. And that's awfully hard. Jeff Hoffman has complicated things. I think Jeff Hoffman has complicated things because, what's your comfort level in him as a closer right now? But I don't know what else John Schneider can do. Today I'm with Kevin. I might have let Braden Fisher go out there again.
Yeah.
But, looking back earlier in the year, I don't think John Schneider had a lot of options. I think he had to go to those guys early.
Well, I think, too, he knows who's starting tomorrow, right? This was sort of a must-win day. You get the lead, you're going to dump every guy you got to win the game because you really don't know what Max is going to give you tomorrow. You have no idea if you can win that game even early on, what it's going to do to your pen after that. Guy asked about Ernie. He's pushing 1,200 OPS against lefties, which is – that's some elite stuff, right? I mean, that's basically dominating. He's turning lefties into
– Yeah, I'll tell you this. Ernie's not going to get voted in, but – this is a guy who won a Gold Glove last year, and the Gold Glove, or I'm sorry, he was a finalist for the Gold Glove last year, didn't win. He's a finalist, and that's voted on by baseball people. That's voted on by managers and coaches. I'll say this. I think there's a real good chance Ernie goes to the All-Star game as perhaps a replacement for somebody. There's always replacements. Maybe he's part of that. I think they still have that final ballot or something like that. And guys like Ernie are guys that fans like to get involved in that. So I don't think he'll get voted in, but yeah, I think there's a chance he goes to the All-Star game. Just on the basis of guys pulling out. I mean, we see it every year.
And Jimmy Garcia couldn't get back soon enough.
No, he couldn't. George in Mississauga, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Blair?
Good, good. Say hi to Mr. Barker, too.
Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies, Mr. Okay. Barker. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. I know the trade deadline's July 31st. Are we buying or are we selling?
I think you're buyers. You're going to be buyers. I think you're going to be buyers regardless based on payroll. The question is, what are you buying? I think Kevin and I are both on the same page. Even if Max Scherzer comes good tomorrow, every Max Scherzer start is going to be, you're going to be lighting candles. You're going to be, you're going to be lining up. Going to be praying for Max to make it through and not hurt his thumb. I just think that's the way it is. I don't think Max is a certain thing for the rest of the year. So I think you have to add another pitcher, you know, another bullpen arm. Let's see when Jimmy gets back. You know, I know there are a couple of ifs here, Kevin, but if they can get Jimmy back, if they can fix Jeff Hoffman, I'm kind of okay with the bullpen right now. And you know what? You can add an arm at the trade deadline. It's not going to cost you squat to address.
Yeah, veteran guy.
To address your bullpen situation.
Yeah.
You got to, as far as I'm concerned, you got to add a starting pitcher. You got to add a starting pitcher. And the only way to me that equation changes is if something happens and we don't see Anthony Santander for the rest of the year. I'm not saying I think that, but I mean, he hasn't, his recovery's been awfully slow. So that's kind of the only way I see the organization, Kevin. I think you feel the same way. The only way I see the organization maybe going after a position player.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if they were sellers. I mean, with the unknowns with the front office and what the owner said about carrying basically trophies across the field. And the amount of money that they've spent, I mean, it's go time. And what you spent on the first baseman, it's go time, buddy. Yeah,
I don't think, I mean, even if they were to fall out of it, I don't think they would be. And what would constitute selling if you're the Blue Jays? Trading
Boba shit.
That would be the only thing. The rest of it, I don't know. To me, it wouldn't constitute. Wouldn't constitute selling. Yeah,
That's what I said. It ain't going to happen. Yeah. But, you know, I think that's what people are talking about. I just don't know why people will continue to talk about selling. I mean,
he asked the question. That's fair.
American League looks, why would you ever be sellers in the Blue Jays?
Can't disagree with that. Drew in Ottawa, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. I got a question and a comment. Okay. When it came to what John Schneider said about Jeff Hoffman, where he had absolute, you know what, confidence in Hoffman as the closer, why would you bring in Yariel Rodriguez today when you're expecting, you know, potentially a shorter outing from Max Scherzer tomorrow, and maybe you know are looking to get two innings out of Rodriguez?
It's not a save situation. Right. That would be my first thing. I can't come out and tell you that I've got confidence in you as my closer and then run you out in a non-save situation. At least I don't think I can.
I agree with that. But the other part of it was like it seemed like he considered this game such that it was a must win. Wouldn't you want your closer in a must win situation?
Not based on what I've seen from Jeff Hoffman so far. I mean, if I'm going to run Jeff Hoffman out, Jeff Hoffman's going to come out in a situation with the game on the line or in a situation where he hasn't pitched for 4 or 5 days. I was not at all surprised that Jeff Hoffman wasn't out there.
Do you want the potential for Yariel to take two innings if he has to tomorrow versus say Jeff Hoffman in a slightly, not necessarily low leverage, but slightly lower leverage situation today.
Keep in mind, you didn't use Brandon Little tonight. You got Nick Sandlin. I think that's less of an issue. And you know what? If you have to, you got Braden Fisher because you only used him for 7 pitches today. So, you know, I get your point. I don't know, Kevin. I didn't expect to see Hoffman in, did you?
Yeah, I don't think so. And again, you got to remember who Rodriguez is facing right at the top of the lineup.
Yep.
I mean, you know, would you really want a struggling Hoffman again? It's sort of that heart rate. It's sort of what you're trying to get from him when he does come in the game. And again, you know, to sort of keep the clubhouse where the clubhouse should be, you know, John can't be coming out and going, we're on the fence on who our closer is. You can't be doing that.
That was my point. That's why if it's a non-save situation, the first thing people are going to say is, wait a minute, you just said this guy's your closer. Now you're running him out there in a non-save situation instead of Yariel Rodriguez. Does that mean Yariel Rodriguez is your closer? Well, I didn't even think of it. I swear to God. There are some things that kind of struck me as odd about this, but the use or not use of Jeff Hoffman wasn't one of them at all.
Well, I was still a little surprised Rodriguez came in up 5. Against the Guardians. I don't know.
Yeah, but I wasn't surprised about Jeff Hoffman. We can have a discussion about whether or not we were surprised.
He's their closer.
About Yariel Rodriguez, but I wasn't surprised.
Until Jimmy gets back, he's their closer.
Yep. Yeah, and again, Jimmy Garcia, a little bit of the news out of John Schneider's pregame availability today. We are led to believe that Jimmy Garcia will make 2 or 3 minor league appearances, 2 minor league appearances, I think. It sounds very much as if the plans are for him to join the Jays Monday in time for the Yankee series at the Rogers Center. And boy, oh boy,
Oh, yes.
Jimmy Garcia, do not take your time, my friend. Get your ass down here as soon as you possibly can. 10-6, the Blue Jays have opened a three-game set with the Cleveland Guardians with a win. We'll do it again tomorrow night. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Cambridge and Stratford. Crown is proud to be Canadian-owned and operated since 1986, so protect your vehicle from rust today at your local Crown Rust Control Center or visit crown.com. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.
Shawarma.